Hello, and welcome to Tech Talk. Your reader will be Paul Henkel. The articles will come from the New York Times technology section. Article number one. This is the free jumpsuit you'll get with a $250,000 ticket to space. Virgin Galactic's space tourists will wear the outfits, which would look at home on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. Once there was the era of space age fashion, now the age of fashion for space has arrived. On Wednesday, Virgin Galactic, the company started by Richard Branson to take people to the edge of space aboard a rocket-powered plane, is unveiling sleek, high-tech garments that passengers will wear during their trips. They are not spacesuits like the ones that NASA astronauts put on for rocket launches and spacewalks. Rather, they are one-piece jumpsuits like those worn by military pilots with a design that wouldn't be out of place on the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. They come with fancy underwear to help maintain comfort during the trip up and down. I think every single person who goes to space will be delighted with it, Mr. Branson said in an interview. I think the whole experience of going to space should be sexy. Our spaceships are sexy, our motherships are sexy, our spaceport is sexy, and for younger people than myself, this suit is also sexy. As part of the price ticket, the cost of a seat is currently $250,000. The Virgin Galactic customers will get to keep their space clothes, including the jumpsuits, underwear, and boots. The company introduced them with theatrical flair at an indoor skydiving facility, with dancers demonstrating the flexibility of the base layer garments worn under the flight suit. Then others showed off the full suit while performing acrobatic flips as they hovered in the sky chamber. Mr. Branson then walked in wearing his flight suit, although without doing any flips himself. Coordination is definitely not one of my strong suits, he said. Watch out for anyone else in the spaceship with me. Virgin is not the only organization showing off new spaceware. On Tuesday, NASA demonstrated two new spacesuits that will be used for its upcoming missions to the moon. While Virgin spaceware conjures going boldly where no one has gone before, NASA's gear, which must function in more rugged environments beyond Earth's orbit, is drawn from familiar forms that have guided the space agency's engineers for decades. The new NASA spacesuits will offer improvements over existing models for the men and women expected to wear them, including greater comfort and movement. The other spacesuit, with a bright red, white, and blue pattern, is called the Exploration Extravehicular Mobility Unit. That is what astronauts will wear as they explore the moon's surface. At an event on Tuesday at NASA's headquarters in Washington, Christine Davis, who works in the agency's spacesuit engineering efforts, showed how the newt's design makes it easier to walk, bend, and twist. You remember Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. They bunny hopped on the surface of the moon, said Jim Bridenstine, NASA's administrator. Well, now we're actually going to be able to walk on the surface of the moon, which is very different than our suits in the past. The suits are designed to work in temperatures ranging from 250 degrees Fahrenheit down to minus 250 degrees and potentially even colder places around the lunar South Pole, where NASA is aiming to send astronauts. The other suit, in a bright orange fabric, is to be worn by astronauts during launch and re-entry to Earth inside Orion, NASA's crew capsule, for deep space travel. The suit provides protection and oxygen in case of an accident that causes the capsule to become depressurized. Private companies other than Virgin have debuted their own novel takes on the spacesuit in recent years, each intending to clothe astronauts headed from Earth to the International Space Station. SpaceX, which could start flying astronauts to space station next year, sent a mannequin wearing its suit to orbit in March aboard the Crew Dragon spacecraft. The suit featured a 3D printed helmet and a black and white design that seemed inspired by motorcycle racing suits. Boeing, whose Starliner capsule will also travel to the station, unveiled its blue zippered suit in 2017. It is about 10 pounds lighter than what astronauts wore on the space shuttle. For its garments, Virgin Galactic enlisted Under Armour, the maker of high-performance sportswear, to develop the out-of-the-world garb. Virgin Galactic wants its passengers not only to look good, but also to feel comfortable to fully appreciate the flight, which will soar to an altitude of more than 50 miles. They have to be fully present, said Randy Harward, Senior Vice President for Advanced Materials at Under Armour. They can't be hot and sweaty and annoyed and itchy. They've got to be super comfortable. Mr. Branson, who founded Virgin Galactic in 2004, had originally expected the company to start flying years ago, but progress was slow, and in 2014, the first of its space planes disintegrated during a test flight, killing a pilot. After making design changes in the second space plane, Virgin has completed other test flights successfully, the most recent in February. Company officials now say, with increasing confidence, that next year, Mr. Branson will finally get his ride on the space plane, taking off from Spaceport America in New Mexico. Then the first of more than 600 people who have signed up will follow. We're getting very, very close, said George Whitesides, chief executive of Virgin Galactic. More people are interested. Mr. Branson said Norman Foster, the renowned 84-year-old architect who designed the futuristic-looking terminal at Spaceport America, just wrote me a letter about 3 or 4 days ago asking could we take him to space. Now all the passengers will be tourists. This month, Virgin Galactic announced that the Italian Air Force has signed a contract to fly 3 people and a package of experiments. The tests conducted by the Air Force will be mostly aimed at studying the effects of acceleration, deceleration, and microgravity on a human body, said Colonel Gianmaria Somma, an Italian Air Force spokesman. Each trip will last about 90 minutes, from takeoff to a gliding landing. Most of that time will transpire as the space station is carried to an altitude of 50,000 feet by a larger carrier aircraft. After the space plane is dropped, its engine ignites. The most exciting part of the weightlessness will last only about 5 minutes. For the past year and a half, Under Armour designers at the company's research center in South Baltimore have been putting together prototypes in small sections of the cavernous space cordoned off by a tall red curtain. They first made some design decisions. They considered a two-piece flight suit, but settled on a more traditional one-piece configuration. We didn't want to stray too far from that, said Nick Chiensky, the Senior Innovation Director for Outdoor Apparel at Under Armour, who led the work for Virgin Galactic. That allowed something that looked not too strange, but that was still fashionable, he said. They settled on a palette of 3 blues and gold, colors selected from images of Earth backlit by the sun. The first suit for Mr. Branson was completed last week. It took 10 people 5 days to construct it. It is the most labor-intensive product we've ever made, Mr. Siansky said. Under Armour's experience with making sportswear for top athletes with fabrics that wick away perspiration but still retain body heat help with creating designs that can deal with the temperature swings in space. It also fits into the overall design that Virgin Galactic envisions. It is actually integrated into the seat system, Mr. Whitesides said. It's a very holistic design. The suit fits into the seat, which fits into the spaceship interior. Each flight suit has a bounty of pockets for carrying mementos. On a gold rectangle inside the chest area of the flight suit, passengers could write a personal mission statement for why they want to go to space. Padding on the shoulders of the flight suit cushion the harnesses that will hold the passengers to their seats through most of the flight. There's a lot of small details we thought through, Mr. Siensky said. Mr. Siensky is also working on the flight suits for the pilots, which will look different but incorporate many of the same features. Like much of the technology needed for space, the extreme requirements pushed innovation. Under Armour was able to take advantage of tools it already had in the works, such as machines that spin threads of varying widths as they weave together the fabric. After demonstrating that they work for the flight suits, it can then deploy them for other products. The material used for the slipper-like boots for the Virgin Galactic passengers, for example, will soon show up in shoes for the football players. The learning in this helped us to prove it really does work, and we can find a path to commercialization, said Clay Dean, the Chief Innovation Officer for Under Armour. I think if you look at the original space program for NASA and the things it spawned in terms of developments that we never imagined, that we're finding the same. Article number 2. Stranger Things helps Netflix increase subscribers. The streaming giant regained some footing after losing U.S. subscribers this year, but new rivals will make it tough for that growth to continue. Netflix has stemmed the bleeding. The streaming juggernaut overcame its rare moment of weakness from last quarter to add 6.8 million new customers this quarter, the company reported on Wednesday, with 520,000 of them in the United States. The rebound, after a loss of 126,000 customers domestically earlier in the year, helped Netflix recover some investor confidence as it faces an onslaught of new streaming competitors. Still, the results for the September period were slightly lower than the company's forecast and presaged the coming competition in a field it has dominated. Netflix has been expected to add about 7 million customers, with 800,000 in the United States. The company also reported a large jump in profit to $665 million on $5.2 billion in revenue, handily beating Wall Street's income estimates of about $470 million. Netflix stock jumped more than 8% in after-hours trading Wednesday. The company's market value had dropped sharply since its last earnings announcement in July, with shares having traded down more than 20% before the most recent report. Netflix, led by Reed Hastings as chief executive, forecast steady growth for the rest of the year. The company said it expected to add 7.6 million total new customers in the next quarter, with about 600,000 for the United States. That was below the 9.4 million that Wall Street had expected and hints at the pending competition. Mr. Hastings tamped down the significance of the newer entrants, citing how Netflix has been competing against streaming services like Amazon and YouTube for years, as well as traditional television. Fundamentally, there's not a big change here, he said on the earnings call after the announcement. The third quarter results benefited from Netflix's best-known series, Stranger Things, which introduced its hugely anticipated third season over the 4th of July weekend. The series drew 64 million households in the first 4 weeks it was available, the company said. Netflix, which started as a DVD-by-mail service, has become a dominant force in Hollywood, and its disruptive growth has reordered the television landscape. It often outspends its rivals and has forced the industry's biggest players to embrace streaming as they abandon, albeit slowly, the pay television model. Netflix is the nation's largest digital television network, with over 158 million customers around the world, including 60 million in the United States. That audience has become critically important as well-financed rivals wait in the wings. On November 1st, Apple plans to unveil its streaming product, Apple TV Plus. 11 days later, the Walt Disney Company intends to start Disney Plus, which will feature Marvel's biggest franchises, the complete Star Wars library, and the Disney Content Vault. In a cheeky marketing stunt, Disney owned Twitter for a few hours on Monday when it promoted its service on an epic thread with a seemingly endless string of titles, both famous and obscure, that will appear on Plus. Not to be outdone, Jennifer Aniston, who stars in Apple's new signature series, The Morning Show, drew Instagram's attention Tuesday when she finally joined the social platform. Both streamers will come stocked with original films and series, and both will cost about half the price of Netflix. Mr. Hastings took a light jab at both companies. It is interesting that we see both Apple and Disney launching in the same week after 12 years of not being in the market, he said. More seriously, he added, Disney is going to be a great competitor. Apple is just beginning, but it'll probably have some great shows too. Later, he summed it up this way. We're all competing against linear television, not really competing against each other. Still, the new services are likely to hold down Netflix trajectory, and the fourth quarter is also traditionally its most lucrative period when it adds the most subscribers. Netflix plans a new line of attack at the end of the year. It will release more than half a dozen high-profile features over the coming months, including Michael Bay's Six Underground, Eddie Murphy's Dolomite Is My Name, and perhaps its most ambitious screen effort to date, Martin Scorsese's The Irishman, which cost $159 million. Ted Sarandos, the head of Netflix content studio, called the new slate the theatrically ambitious movies that can be watched in the home, that could fundamentally change the economics of how people enjoy films. Article number 3. These apps are an Uber driver's co-pilot. Driving for ride-sharing companies is a juggling act. To maximize their income, drivers often keep Uber on one screen and Lyft on another. These two apps are the giants in the field, but a smaller ecosystem is sprouting around them. To help rideshare drivers get the most out of their shifts and also to help passengers save money and time. 70% of rideshare drivers hit the road part-time, so an important first question many ask is, when should I drive? Said Ryan Green, chief executive of GridWise, a mobile app that provides important data for drivers. That information can include detailed airport traffic trends, weather forecasts, traffic conditions, local event schedules, and how many other rideshare drivers are on the road, and earnings performance reports. Knowing these things, a driver can try to find the best spots to make the most money. Drivers have different preferences, Mr. Green said. We want to equip them to make the best decisions. A big concert this weekend? A driver might want to find a position near the arena's exits or avoid the area and its traffic entirely. A weather alert for rain the next hour can let them know more business is coming soon. There's fragmentation and a lack of transparency of information of what's happening in real time and what's going to happen, Mr. Green said. We're connecting breadcrumbs across data areas. Sergio Avidian, a senior contributor for the Rideshare Guy website and a driver coach, says the apps can help drivers, especially those new to the job, plan out their day, position themselves in the right places at the right time, and wait for the most lucrative fares. Drivers who just turn on Lyft or Uber and take whatever rides it sends are not making as much as they could, Mr. Avidian said. When a driver who uses both Uber and Lyft accepts a ride request, he or she will switch off the other service. Thanks to all that switching, their records of time and miles driven are fragmented. Services that stay on in the background all day can track miles driven and dollars earned per mile or per hour for tax purposes and to analyze revenue. GridWise and other apps can also help give drivers a big-picture view. For example, knowing that a number of planes are landing and not that many drivers are at the airport could encourage more Uber and Lyft traffic. There is one hurdle, however. Lyft and Uber aren't always keen on sharing their data. There's a basic misalignment of goals, said Harry Campbell, founder of the Rideshare Guy. Drivers want to maximize their revenue, Mr. Campbell said, while rideshare companies strive to keep prices low for customers and to become profitable. The companies want drivers and riders to use only their service, but drivers and riders are looking for choice. For drivers, safety is another concern. The Mistro app lets drivers who work for Lyft and Uber automatically accept riders based on their set preferences. When a ride is accepted on Lyft, say the app switches off Uber. These are actions the driver would otherwise have to perform manually. When Lyft turned off Maestro's access earlier this year, drivers complained. Doug Fiegelson, Maestro's chief executive, found a new technical approach to connect with Lyft and is rolling it out. Lyft is not helping us with this, he said. The ancillary apps face a number of other challenges. Rideshare companies have begun adding information like event schedules in some cities, so the new apps have to distinguish themselves by providing a layer of information that Uber and Lyft can't provide or are not willing to provide, Mr. Campbell said. Driver turnover is high, and those who quit altogether also usually cease using the ancillary app. The most successful apps provide some kind of service the customer could still use after they stop being a rideshare driver, Mr. Campbell said. There are a host of other niches the apps are aiming to fill. When demand is high, Lyft and Uber charge riders higher surge prices, which translate to higher pay for drivers. An app called Surge provides Uber drivers the ability to monitor their current location or fixed locations for surges. They can receive notifications when surges start, change, and end. With this information, they can decide when to go online and accept rides. They can also put pins in a map to be notified of surges in those areas. Receiving a surge notification, they sometimes turn off all rideshare apps until they can arrive in the area so they are not called to a non-surge trip on the way. SherpaShare uses location tracking to chart the mileage driven, and at the end of each trip, the driver indicates its purpose as work or leisure. Drivers can deduct 58 cents per mile driven from their taxes as a business expense, so it's important to keep track, and the app can create IRS-compliant reports for tax purposes. TripLog and Everlance are other similar apps that some drivers have come to rely on. Rideshare drivers use a number of other categories of apps more than the typical mobile user does, according to Lexi Sidow, a senior market insights manager at App Annie, Mobile Insights and Analytics. These include banking, parking, gas loyalty, and car maintenance apps. they are also more likely to use job-seeking apps like ZipRecruiter. The drivers aren't alone in juggling Uber and Lyft. Passengers will often call up each app to see if one ride is substantially cheaper. Both Google Maps and Apple Maps display some ride-sharing options depending on location. The app MeGo shows passengers local rideshare options as well as bikes, scooters, taxis, public transit, and car shares. When Lyft and Uber ceased working with it, the company recently shifted its focus to smaller and international rideshare companies like Ride Austin in Texas and GETT in Israel and Britain. International markets have a much richer set of mobility options, said Jeff Warren, founder of MeGo. It's hard, though, for travelers to do the research to find the best local rideshare companies and then download each app and enter payment information, he said. MeGo aims to solve that problem by integrating access to those services into its app, including the ability to book and pay for the ride. In Paris, for example, MeGo will have about a dozen choices for travelers. The number of new entrants in the field is expected to keep rising because there is a great need, Mr. Campbell said. Riders are looking for options, he said, and drivers are looking for ways to stay ahead of the competition. Article number 4, high schools to TikTok. We're catching feelings. Teens love the app, and now it's getting the stamp of approval with teacher-approved clubs. Did school just get fun? On the wall of a classroom that is home to the West Orange High School TikTok Club, large loopy words are scrawled across a whiteboard. Want to be TikTok famous? Join TikTok Club. It's working. There's a lot of TikTok famous kids at our school, said Amanda DeCastro, who is 14 and a freshman. Probably 20 people have gotten famous off random things. The school is on a quiet, palm tree-lined street in a town just outside Orlando. A hallway by the principal's office is busy with blue plaques honoring the school's AP scholars. Its choir director, Jeffrey Redding, won the 2019 Grammy Music Educator Award. Amanda, who is referring to a different kind of notoriety, on TikTok, a social media app whose users post short, funny videos, usually set to music, that is enjoying a surge in popularity among teenagers around the world and has been downloaded 1.4 billion times, according to Sensor Tower. The embrace of the app at this school is mirrored on scattered campuses across the United States where students are forming TikTok clubs to dance, sing, and perform skits for the app, essentially drama clubs for the digital age, but with the potential to reach huge audiences. And unlike other social media networks, TikTok is winning over some educators like Michael Callahan, a teacher at West Orange who had never heard of TikTok before the students told him about it. He is an advisor to the school's club and says he loves how the app brings students from different friends groups together. You see a lot more teamwork and camaraderie, he said, and less. I don't want to say bullying, but focus on individuals. In many of the videos on the app, which are 15 seconds to 1 minute long, school hallways, classrooms, and courtyards serve as a recurrent backdrop. And if kids aren't filming themselves at school, they're making jokes about school. One popular meme on the app mocks the class of 2023, freshmen this year, for being cringy and trying too hard. TikTok is just a theatrical platform, said Blake Cadwell, the general manager of Day One Agency, a marketing firm in Los Angeles that works on Chipotle's TikTok account. You're trying to build your cast for whatever you're doing, and high school is a natural environment where you're with lots of people, so you can do these skits or challenges. Several students at West Orange have seen their videos shoot to the top of the popular For You page of the app. In the spring, the school's valedictorian went viral for a Minecraft video. Another student got more than 3 million views for a parody of the film Mean Girls. Ireland McTague, a 15-year-old sophomore at St. Agnes Academy in Texas, said she spends about 16 hours a week on the app, creating or consuming videos. Manny Alexander, 16, a high schooler in New York, said he would diagnose himself as a TikTok addict. Not that it's interrupted my life, he said, but my life does revolve a bit around it. TikTok's addictiveness can be traced in part to its use of artificial intelligence to anticipate what users want and fill their feeds with it. That technology is so effective that the app's owner, ByteDance, last year introduced anti-addiction measures in Douyin, the Chinese version, to help both users and the parents who may be worried about them. Inside the West Orange High School TikTok Club. The West Orange Club meets every other Monday after school. It was founded in September by Kate Sandoval, a 17-year-old senior. Mr. Callahan, the advisor, makes sure the students come up with an agenda for each meeting and don't just sit around goofing off on their phones. Kate pulled up a series of TikToks on a large screen. The students sipped Capri Suns and snacked on Cheetos as they watched. The first TikTok featured a teenager whose face was obscured by the image of a giant crying baby's face, dancing to Teach Me How to Doogie in the aisle of a sporting goods store. The second showed a skit between two boys in which one jokes about falling for the other after he slides past him to exit a bus seat. This is a popular meme for boys. The punchline is a song lyric, "Oh no, I think I'm catching feelings." The challenge for the week was to riff on these videos. The winner would receive a Chick-fil-A gift card. In the hallway, pairs of girls propped their phones against a wall and attempted to mimic the Teach Me How to Doogie dance step by step. Inside the classroom, three boys and two girls prepared skits about catching feelings for each other. Amy Summers and her TikTok partner, Kylana Heisler, a 16-year-old senior, danced until they began sweating. "This is hard work," Kaylani said, between steps. Shane Scalling, 17, who is the TikTok club videographer, tracked a pair of girls' dance moves between lockers. He moved the camera around in circles, hitting the beats as they danced. "We finished ours. It's fire," said Darcy Friday, 17. Her partner Morgan Townsend, 17, agreed. The school's principal, Melissa Gordon, declared a winner. It was a skit by three 16-year-old boys, Benjamin Boucher, Trent Vickersand, Zachary Everidge, about one boy falling in love with another boy who picks his nose. The entire classroom screamed and cheered when it was announced. "I feel like it might go viral," Benjamin said. If it's on the internet, it's not private. Creating TikToks in class isn't exactly encouraged, but teachers at many schools say they view TikTok culture as a net positive. Others, like Emma Payton, a Spanish teacher at Fox Creek High School in South Carolina, are more hesitant. Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat, all those interfaces can feed bullying, she said. "I think kids can be recording things that they shouldn't." One encouraging sign is that videos about topics that high schoolers are all studying sometimes generate thousands of views and become memes in themselves. Kate Sandoval said she has made TikToks for her role in student government, and Mr. Callahan, the advisor, is mulling how he can use the app to teach students about government and social studies. We're thinking this is possibly the new Schoolhouse Rock. That's Tech Talk for this week. Please join me again next week for the latest from the technology sector.